It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome into WEEI, Boston Sports Original. It is Shine, but no Mego today on a cool, soon-to-be warmer Saturday morning. Instead, it's John Lyons joining me this morning. John, it's been a minute. What's up, bud?
Not too much. Going to do my best Mego impression today.
Are you going to do an impression?
Smart. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it. Just try to sound smart.
All right. I like it. I'm into it. I'm here if you want to get stupid too. That's fine. If you want it to be a little crazy.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay.
Trust me.
The normal switch?
It's off and on.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, off and on.
I gotcha. 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in today, we're going to be talking all things Pats free agency. We're going to hit on the Celtics. They got a game tonight. They won last night. Big game for Jrue Holiday in that win over the Heat. So we'll hit on that. We'll take all your calls today. But Lyons, I wanted to start with the Cooper Kupp news that happened last night. I think it happened right during the Christian Arcand show. And Cooper Kupp has signed a 3-year, $45 million deal with the Seattle Seahawks. The Patriots once again lose out on another receiver. Cooper Kupp may not have been the number one he was, but he was still better than just about anything you had. And yet again, the Patriots have been unable to add at receiver all offseason. They still need a left tackle. Two of the biggest needs they had going into free agency, they still have. Lyons, where are you at currently with how this offseason has gone for the New England Patriots?
So first, I'll give it like a B, and we'll get into the other signings there. But Chaim, you said they've needed a left tackle and receiver all offseason. You're correct, but they've needed it for 3 years, right? You go into the 2023 offseason, right? Quick history lesson here. You needed a corner with length, a left tackle, and a receiver. You got the corner with length in Gonzalez. Didn't get the left tackle or the receiver.
Missed.
You go into last offseason, you need a quarterback, a left tackle, and a receiver.
But they got Chuck Okorafor for it.
You got the quarterback in May, but you didn't get the left tackle, and you didn't get the receiver. So now this is 3 years in a row that two of your top needs or top three needs are left tackle and receiver. And look, they needed defensive tackle help, and they signed Milt Williams. They needed another corner. Those were needs. I'm not disputing that. They still need help at running back. You could talk me into them needing help at tight end. They needed help at linebacker. We saw how things were when Bentley got hurt last year. They signed Spillane. So I'm not saying those weren't needs, but this is three off seasons in a row where two of your top three needs or your top two needs were left tackle and receiver. And look, the draft is still to come. There are still trades to come. So I'm not freaking out, but this is 3 years in a row where we're sitting here saying they don't have the left tackle and they don't have the receiver. I mean, Shime, the last time they got really high quality left tackle play for my money, Trent Brown in 2018. Not Trent Brown
yeah,
2 years ago.
Minute.
Trent Brown in 2018 because the Isaiah Wynn experiment failed, right?
Miserably.
Obviously, Vidarian Lowe, right? All that. So it's something that this has been a need for a while, and especially it's been an acute need the last three off seasons, and up till now they have failed to adequately address it.
Yeah, it's and I don't understand it. For a team that did so well for two decades at finding good offensive line play, right?
You went from Matt Light to Nate Solder to Trent Brown. That was 18 years of solid left tackle play.
You were great, and you filled in at every other position along the line respectfully almost the entire time. Yeah. Like it was, and I think large part of that was because you had one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of football in Dante Scarnecchia. That helped. You also had the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. That also helps. But it seems that post those things, like, you're just unable to identify offensive line talent at all. Like, to the point where you traded away a pick that would have been Trent McDuffie, who's awesome, by the way, and drafted Cole Strange, who at a UC Chattanooga, and got laughed at. Not just like, well, that's a weird pick. No, laughed at by Sean McVay and Les Snead. They didn't even know. They were like, oh, we thought we were going to get this guy in like the third round.
And then you drafted Tyquan Thornton instead of Leo Chenal or George Pickens.
It's just
right after. That was cool.
The evaluation of talent to me is, it's just so bad at times with this team. And again, you're right. They addressed quote unquote needs on the team.
Sure.
But the two biggest needs that you had going into the offseason are protecting your young rookie quarterback who you think is your franchise and giving him an option at receiver. And you've done neither of those things. And there's maybe at left tackle, I would believe you if you told me there were limited options. So it was difficult. You know, Ronnie Stanley doesn't even hit free agency. Dan Moore got paid a ridiculous amount of money. I get that. But when it comes to receiver, there have been countless options for you to trade late round picks to acquire guys that may be a little washed up, maybe not, but to at least get veteran, legitimate NFL receivers in the building who are better than anything you have. You start with Debo, you have DK Metcalf, you have Cooper Kupp. Like, the list goes on, and yet here we stand still on March 15th, the Ides of March, and you have nothing.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, so far the biggest acquisition the Patriots have made on offense this offseason is Josh McDaniels. And I'm a big supporter of him. I know you're not a fan, but point being, it probably shouldn't be your OC, right? It should be players around, and that's the biggest acquisition they made. And you mentioned left tackle. And look, Ronnie Stanley never hit free agency, but Laramie Tunsil got moved.
Yep.
Right? Like,
he was available.
And Dan Moore, I get it. I think at this
Joe Tooney got traded. He was available. You could have used him.
Sneaky. I wonder if Mike Vrabel didn't want Joe Tooney.
Why? He's
so hear
one
me
of
out,
the best
right?
guards in football.
And I'm not disputing that, but hear me out. In the last 48 hours, they have let three Super Bowl champion veterans over 30 that were Belichick guys all leave. David Andrews, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones. What is Joe Tooney? An over 30 Super Bowl champion Belichick draft pick. Is there a sense of Vrabel wants more of his quote-unquote own guys? Because outside of Milton Williams, it's all been guys they're familiar with. I mean, Harold Landry was their first signing. That's a Vrabel guy.
So, all of the guys they signed were all either Vrabel or McDaniels or Terrell Williams guys.
Yeah, outside of Milton Williams.
That's
they were all guys that have played for those guys. So, and I'm not saying Vrabel hates Joe Tooney or anything like that, but I wonder, does he lean more towards he just wants a fresh start with his own guys that aren't Bill guys?
Even though Tooney's been with Kansas City now for, what, 3 years?
And that's why I'm
Four
saying,
years?
Like, I wonder if that's part of the calculus. I don't know.
Maybe, but look, you just need talent. And that's that's kind of my thing. Regardless of who they were drafted by, you need legitimate NFL talent in this building, and Joe Tooney would come in and be the best guard in the building. He would be better than Mike Onwenu.
He'd be the best offensive lineman in the building.
Period.
Yeah.
On day one, he would be the best offensive lineman you have.
And next year, too.
And he's flexible enough that if you did take a swing on a somewhat injury-prone left tackle, oh, by the way, he played left tackle for the Chiefs and actually played pretty well this year.
Or if you drafted Will Campbell and he ended up being a guard.
Yeah, you can switch the two.
Yeah.
It's like that's your left side of your offense. You have your right side in Moses and
Onwenu. We'll see at center.
It seems like it might be Ben Brown. I'm hoping it's Ben Brown. Maybe Drake May really liked playing with Ben Brown. I really hope not.
Oh, yeah.
If you're trying to make Cole Strange, square peg Cole Strange fitting a round hole, this is already doomed at the start.
And I think part of this, too, and I know this isn't the sexy topic to talk about, but what does this staff think of Caden Wallace and Layden Robinson? Because that was two draft picks from last year, and we... The night show, like 2 months ago, Fitzy and I were on. We had Chad Graff on, and he said that the front office believes their draft last year was good and the coaches did a poor job developing those guys. If Vrabel walks in and says, hey, Layden Robinson's going to be my left guard and I'll be fine, like, and they believe that, then maybe that changes their calculus. But I think that's part of this as well. I mean, we saw when Caden Wallace got drafted, Lewis Riddick was like, oh, he's the most underrated lineman in the class, but he's a right tackle and you just signed a right tackle.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, do they think Caden Wallace is a swing tackle? Do they think Layden Robinson's a swing guard or a starting? Because that's the thing, to your point. Right now, your right side of the offensive line, I'm reasonably confident in.
Even if you include Ben Brown at center, I'm like, okay, I like this.
I'm reasonably
all right with
it. Your left side, you don't have any answers. Like, because Layden Robinson, even him, has been mostly a right guard. Caden Wallace has been a right tackle outside of a few snaps in week three against the Jets where he kicked in a little to left tackle, but that was because of injury. So you don't really have any answers there. You just don't. And then at receiver, I like Pop Douglas, I like Kendrick Bourne, but the exercise to do is, where are those guys on an actual good offense? Pop Douglas is probably a 4, maybe a 3, and Kendrick Bourne's in that 3-4 neighbor on a good offense.
Same with Mac Hollins, just signed.
Sure, and if you want to even sell me, like Mac Hollins could, with McDaniels, develop into like a lower-end 2, maybe, but even
He's 31. It's not like he's young. You're not developing anymore.
In a good offense, you have a 3 and a 4 and a 5. You don't have a 1 or a 2 at receiver.
And correct.
The thing with all the times they had good offenses over 20 years with Brady, they always had an A-plus level weapon in the passing game. Now, for many years, it was Rob Gronkowski at tight end, but that was a guy.
But it was a guy.
Everyone had to game plan around him.
Yep.
And before him, it was Moss. Before him, it was Deion Branch. Hell, even in 2001, Troy Brown had 101 catches. Like, they always had a guy that teams had to game plan around. There is no one in this offense at tight end or receiver or even running back that an opposing defensive coordinator looks at and says, I got to build a game plan to stop that guy first.
Not a single player. Yeah. Running back, tight end, receiver, doesn't matter. And, like, I think you could have upgraded at all of them. Like, and look, Keenan Allen's still available on the free agency market. If you go and sign him, great. Like, that's fine. It's a veteran. It's a legitimate NFL receiver. But he's not what he once was. He's not a legitimate number one. Like, it's just...
If the Bears don't want another him back body. With their own young quarterback, what message does that send about Keenan Allen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just... And this is not an anti-Keenan Allen take, but, like, the guy to get would have been DK Metcalf or Cooper Kupp.
How,
like, that would have been...
All you had to do was trade third-round pick is what the Steelers traded for DK?
I think it was
a second?
It was a second, but you have a higher second.
Yeah.
So you could have traded 38th overall.
You could have probably traded 2 threes. May not have even had to deal 38 overall.
Or a second in a future
fourth. Or next year's second and this year's fourth. Yeah. Or something like that, which you have multiple of. Yeah. So there was opportunity here for you to bring in a legitimate number one stud receiver, and you're just like, nah, I'm good.
And look, you can sit here and tell me, hey, we're a little worried about Metcalf's, maybe his attitude, grasp of McDaniel's playbook and this and that. And here's my issue with that, right? Like, Josh McDaniels had good offenses with Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth. Then he had good offenses with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. Then he had good offenses with Gronk, Chris Hogan, Julian. He's proven he can work with different guys. And
But they have to be talented.
Guys can adapt to his offense. Like,
and there was Tom Brady the entire time.
No doubt about it. But even in, like, 2008, they had a top 10 offense. And you had Moss, you had Welker, you had those. Point being, like, you could bring in a Kupp or a Metcalf, and they could have made it work.
Yeah, they could have made it work, but yet I forget which report it was that said somebody like Deebo Samuel is quote unquote not a fit in the Patriots offense. When I hear stuff like that, I get worried, because if that's the case, if you're telling me you're not getting guys like DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuel just because they're quote unquote not a fit, then you shouldn't have signed Josh McDaniels as your offensive coordinator in the first place,
I think
you shouldn't have done anyway.
Kyle Shanahan's offense, you can make the case, is just as, if not more complex than the Patriots offense. And Deebo Samuel was one of the best players in the NFL in 2021.
Oh my
issue with
Deebo... And people say he's washed. Like, he had a bad year last year because he was walking around with pneumonia for half the year. The year before, he had 1,000 total yards.
I have concerns about Deebo when it comes to investment, but...
He still would have been better than anything you have in the building, right?
And in a new place, maybe there's that added motivation.
And for a fifth pick? Do you want... I did this exercise last time. Do you want to know the last five fifth round picks the New England Patriots have had?
So off the top of my head, it's like Antonio Mafi's one of them. I forget.
Justin Rohrwasser was another
one. The kicker. He was the racist kicker, by the way. They had to cut.
Cameron McGrone.
Linebacker from Michigan with two torn ACLs they drafted.
Byron Cowart.
I actually liked him, but yes, not a great
pick.
Really
play.
Yeah, I know.
Defense and there. Then Jake Bailey, a punter.
Yeah.
Those were your last five fifth-round picks.
One of them good.
You could have sent a fifth-round pick out the door for Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
Simple.
And again, one of your seventh-round picks? You 100%. Had three of them this year.
And Debo might have been a little bit washed. Still had more receiving yards than anybody on this team last year, and he played half the season with pneumonia. I would bet dollars to donuts Debo's going to have a bit of a bounce-back year now with Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin.
Cliff Kingsbury.
He is going to eat in that offense. And you could have had someone like that. It's not even that he is the same stud he was a few years ago when he had 1,400 yards, but he does so many different things. You can incorporate him in the run game. You can incorporate him in the screen game. You can incorporate him in the normal pass game. He is such a variable that other teams actually have to game plan for him.
And that's, like I said, the last time they had a guy that teams truly had to game plan around was probably Rob Gronkowski in 2018. I mean, maybe if you want to say Edelman in 2020, 2021, I'll give you that. But that's it. Even 2021, when they were good and Kendrick Bourne had 800 yards receiving, was he a guy defensive coordinators were like, holy crap, we have to stop him? It was probably more about stopping Josh and that offense overall.
617-779-7937 here. It's Shyman Lyons on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We're going to continue with the Patriots offseason, what they need, how they can get it. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel coming back here. But right now, Jacob is going to get you caught up with what
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks. And suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? done well. Electrical upgrade, done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Trending. Shimon Ryan's here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Mego this week. She's enjoying the beautiful sunshine of Florida. Got a good day off for her. So Shimon Lyons taking you up until 1 o'clock this afternoon on Boston Sports Original. That was Mike Vrabel talking about free agency in general. It's not over yet, Lyons. There's still plenty of time. Maybe the player pool is dwindling. It's getting smaller. It's shrinking as time goes on here. But it's never over. Still opportunity to make trades and sign free agents now, all the way up and into the draft and through the draft. I'm curious if you feel like there's another shoe to drop with this Patriots team. Are you, because Wiggy all week has been beating this drum that they have to have something up their sleeve. They have to be ready to make some kind of massive move. And I just don't buy it. I think this team is, they have shown you, not just the, you know, actions speak louder than words. They have shown you they want zero part in trading any draft picks for any talent whatsoever, which is insane to me. And so I don't see another big move coming. Where do you kind of stand right now with where this free agency is?
Yeah, I think your next big move is who you draft in the top 10. Yeah. And the reason I say top 10 is I could see them trading down a little bit. But yeah, right now I think your next big move is fourth overall. And the whole another shoe to drop thing, like there was a time in New England where it was, you know, chestnut checkers and always, like, you know, you go back to 2014. They let Aqib Talib go because in the back of their mind, they knew Darrell Revis was going to get released. They signed him. He was better, right?
Oh, way better.
So yeah. Oh,
Hall of Famer.
One of my favorite one-year rentals in Boston sports history.
That defense was so much fun. Just like with Revis on one side, just locking it down, and then Brandon Browner beating the crap out of everybody else on the other side.
And that's one thing. Like, their defensive front this year, I think, is going to be different than what they did under Bill.
Sure.
But their secondary with that Carlton Davis signing, we can get into that in a minute, going to look very similar, I think. So, a point, I think your next big move is fourth overall, or even if you trade down to that top 10 pick.
Is that a bad thing, though? Because Vrabel had even said prior to free agency that he wanted to lock up all of your needs so that when it did come draft time, you don't have to draft for need. You can just take best player available. And now they're at a point where they need both a left tackle and a number one receiver. And, oh, by the way, quote unquote, the number one left tackle may not actually be a tackle unless you really like Armand Membu as the number one tackle. And there's a bunch of people now like Todd McShay who are out on Tet McMillan as the number one receiver, and it's Matthew Golden. And I don't know if there's going to be one in the top 10. Kind of like, isn't this a bad spot to be in if you're Vrabel?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to what do they think of those late first round, early second round offensive tackles? Like, if they're like, hey, Josh Simmons with his injury will fall to 24.
Ariante Ursary out of Minnesota.
Yeah, Josh Connerly. Like, are one of those guys, and the guy whose name I'm forgetting from West Virginia, I think it's Wyatt something, but like those guys, do they think one of those guys at 38 will be their left tackle of the future? And if so, then it puts them in a better spot. But again, you're going to go into the draft with needs at two of the most important positions on the field in today's NFL. And look, I'm not saying you have to have like the Eagles that have A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, like those two marquee guys, but you need someone the other team has to game plan around. And right
somebody.
Now they just, and I know, and I'm not one of those people like, oh, you just have to have bodies. But you need someone that the opposing defense has to game plan around. And they don't have that guy. They don't. And if you tell me, even if you told me, Shime, they would trade down in the first round and draft Tyler Warren, and at tight end, he would be the guy that a defense would game plan
Ashton
around.
Ashton Genty.
See, I'm not again. Not in the first. No. They have too many needs. For that. I love him. I think he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. Could you get Omarion Hampton later in the first round and trade up? You know, who's not quite as good, but really good. So
I don't think Omarion Hampton's going to make it out of the first round.
He might not. Right, so you might have to trade back up. But they don't have a guy in the passing game a team has to game plan around. So if you tell me...
They don't have anybody has to game plan around.
If you tell me, hey, it's Tyler Warren, it's Tet McMillan, it's a trade for A.J. Brown, even Pipe Dream, I know. But point is, they need that guy, but they also need a left tackle.
So
like, that's the issue. It's two huge needs. It's not one.
Now, one of the other things, too, this came up on the Greg Hill Show on Friday, actually, was the idea that if a guy like Travis Hunter is available at four, do you just take him and be like, hey, we're going to, instead of, it seems like most NFL teams want to start him primarily at cornerback and then like packages at receiver. What if the Patriots were to draft him and do the opposite? play him primarily at receiver and packages at corner. Would you be okay with that?
So it's interesting because you just signed Carlton Davis. So him and Gonzalez are your outside corners. Marcus Jones probably going to be your slot guy.
Yeah.
So there's no room for Travis.
In the secondary, there's none.
And he worked out as a corner at the combine. I think he's actually a little bit better as a corner than a receiver.
He is better as a corner.
That's a debate, but I think he's a little better as a corner. I would lean no. And I would say that to me, Shime, is the spot where I would say trade down.
Yeah, so wasn't the Carlton Davis signing basically a clear indication to everyone on the planet that Travis Hunter's not going to be available?
I think it's a clear indication that there, even if he is, he's not the guy. And again, I think Travis Hunter's going to have a great career and be a great player. This is not an anti-Travis Hunter thing. I just think...
I'm the anti-Travis Hunter guy.
Fair enough. If he's the guy there at four... Even if you think he's going to be a great player, and this is a misconception a lot of people have. You're like, if you don't draft someone at four, you're missing out on a generational talent. I know this draft isn't as strong as last year, and it's not going to be as strong as next year. If you draft a left tackle at eight or nine, he's still going to be pretty damn good and probably a great player.
Well, so I think...
You're trading from four to 30.
Well, and I think the issue is a lot of people saw last year, and they're like, oh my God, like we got so many good players, this is great, but... What people don't understand is last year was generationally an amazing draft class. It was one of the best draft classes we've ever had in the first round that I can even I don't even know that there is a comparable first round that I can think of off the top of my head.
Maybe 04?
But that's how far you have to go back, right?
Yeah, off the top of my head.
They were insanely good across the board. This year's draft class, yes, it's worse than last year's because that was historically good, but it's still, I think there are a lot of good players in the first round in this draft
class. There's a ton of good, I feel like, day two players.
Yeah, there's not these, there may not be as many home run swings that you can clearly identify like an Abdul Carter, but there's a lot of guys that are going to make a big impact on day one for a lot of football teams.
Yeah, like this year, if Drake May or Jaden Daniels was in this draft class, they'd
be
number
one
overall
with a bullet.
Slam dunk, right?
Yeah, it's not even close.
Exactly. So it's not quite per se like that, but like I look around, and this is where them having two third-round picks I think helps as well. A lot of good day two players, and I know that's not as sexy, but... You can get your left. I mean, Matt Light was drafted in the second round, and
but do you want to take that risk right now? You're a team that hasn't had a left tackle, as you pointed out, since like 2018.
And that's why, to me, what I would do as of now, unless they do something crazy and there's a big trade, I'm taking a left tackle in the first round. And maybe it's a trade down, and it's Josh Simmons.
Are you a Campbell guy, or are you a Membu guy?
I'm a trade down, and I'm going to take Simmons or Kelvin Banks.
God, interesting.
Because I think those guys are really good players. And Membu, my issue.
Out on Banks.
Membu, mostly a right tackle. And do I really want to trust him swinging over in the pros to left tackle?
Moses swing over to left tackle? He has played left tackle in his career. He's better as a right tackle, but...
That's an option. But at that point then, so am I going to use a top 10 pick on a right tackle when Drake May's a righty?
Chargers used a number 5 overall pick last year on a right tackle, and he's pretty good.
You bring up an interesting point because I think the freaky move the Patriots really could do, call up the Chargers and see, you want number 4 for Rashawn Slater? Left tackle of the future, because Joe Alt, to me...
You give up number 4 for Slater?
He's 25, and he's one of the better left tackles in the league. And you know he can play.
I also don't think... I think you would have to overpay for a guy like that. I think the Chargers are... they're clearly in win-now mode, and so getting rid of their, franchise left tackle, maybe...
But I think they drafted Joe Alt to be a future franchise left tackle.
Maybe, maybe they just play... They just have the benefit of having both.
They do what the Eagles do, and they put Becton next to a great right tackle. And look, that's... Definitely, and the Chargers sneaky could be a great team this year.
I think they might be a great. They need a little bit more speed. I don't know what they're doing let's go to Ray in Boston. Want to talk about the Pats? What's up, Ray?
Hey guys, great show so far.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I think Vrabel at this point has some pretty good credit with me right now as a fan. He didn't do anything insane during free agency, but we're a better football team, straight up. And I think he's got some good credit. We're criticizing the Patriots like it's the Gerard Mayo run Patriots and not the Vrabel run Patriots. I can see the plan. I see the plan. So I think our next move is the draft. We got to trade that 4 pick and try to get around like 8, 9, or 10. And then exactly like you guys were saying, there's some good 1B players there. There's Will Johnson in the corner from Michigan. There's Tyler Warren, the tight end. There's Tet McMillan. There's the pair of edge rushers from Georgia. And like, it's not like Shine was saying that knock it out of the park, like, wow, 4-3-6-5 guy, receiver. But like, those are going to contribute on NFL teams, and we need all those positions. Maybe not edge rusher as much, but that tackle position. The kid from Mississippi State, like Tet McMillan, looks like he's a pretty good player. Like Tyler Warren could be a good player for us. So that's where we need to move down, get some more picks, and Vrabel we trust, right? Guys building a good team.
I appreciate the call, Ray. Thanks. Yeah, I think me and Lions are kind of on the same page. Like, it's been a good offseason, a B. Like,
I give
solid,
it a B.
Solid, solid, solid,
yeah,
B.
Last year, I thought it was an F.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Give
so,
it a B.
Like, this is a really, it's been good. You're right. Your team is now better than it was at the start of free agency. I totally agree. And I think this is a good point by a texter, a 508 texter. Sign a guy like Cam Robinson. Draft one of those second-tier, third-tier left tackles in the second or third round. Try and develop him behind a guy who can at least get you by. Is Cam Robinson some great left tackle? No, but currently doesn't have a job. May be interested in a one-year kind of prove-it deal so that he can get a bigger deal next year. I think there's an opportunity there that you could take advantage of.
And I think what people have to remember, and I said this about Ronnie Stanley as well, like Ronnie Stanley's probably the 12th or 13th best left tackle in the league. Cam Robinson's probably 24th, 25th. That's still a hell of a lot better
still
than
starting
what
left tackle.
It's better than Vedarian Lowe.
Chuck Okorafor, who walks out on you.
It's you have had the worst left tackle play in the league over the last 12 months.
Without a doubt.
And bottom of the league over the last 2 years. Like, it's been awful.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way around. Like,
Cam Robinson's a former first-round pick.
You can tell me that they would have the 20th best left tackle in the league, and that would be a major upgrade over what they've had.
You want to know something, Lions? 32 starting NFL left tackles. So if your guy's 20th, you know what? He's a legitimate NFL left tackle. Yeah. It's you don't
and
need.
And Vedarian Lowe in PFF, I think, was like 54th or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah. You don't need like you don't need Rashawn Slater right this second.
Sure.
You want him, of course. Everybody wants the best left tackle in football right this very second. But if you can't get him, if he's not accessible to you, you settle for a guy like Cam Robinson. You take a shot at another younger guy to develop behind him, and hopefully that guy becomes that left tackle. Or maybe he doesn't, and you're going to have to take another swing next
year.
And
that's what they did with Nate Solder, where they drafted him a year early. They had Matt Light. They developed him. Matt Light retired. Nate Solder took over.
And it was seamless.
And it really was. And he was really good for many years.
To the point where he got some massive deal from the Giants.
Yes. So I think if that's the route they go, again, if you sit here and you say Cam Robinson is the 25th best left tackle in the league, that's not great. It's a hell of a lot better than what you've had. You can take a guy in round two, develop him behind him, and then that also frees you up at fourth overall to do whatever you want. I mean, yeah, receiver, but you could kind of do whatever you want.
617-779-7937. Lions, we have entered crazy trade theory land. Let's go to Kurt in Tampa. Wants to talk about an idea for a trade for the Patriots. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I don't know if the Giants are crazy enough to do this, but, you know, New York and the Giant, whatever. Do you think they'd be willing to take the number four pick for Malik Nabers and then they get stuck with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter?
Appreciate the call, Kurt. I will tell you this. No. Because you want to know what it will cost for Malik Nabers? More than the fourth overall pick.
Yeah. He was in a bad situation last year. He was good.
He's like phenomenal.
And obviously we know the talent. He could be great. But even in a bad situation last year,
he was catching passes from Drew Lock and
Tommy
Daniel
DeVito.
Jones and Tommy DeVito. And yet, I think he finished, second all-time in a single season in receptions by a rookie?
Sounds right. It was in that neighborhood.
It was like him and Brock Bowers were fighting for it at the end. I forget if he got it or not. But, like, he's awesome. That would cost you maybe, like, the fourth and a second and a fourth. Like, it would cost you way more than just the number four overall pick because that's how good Malik Nabers is. He would probably go number two overall in this draft. If he was in this draft instead of last year.
Yeah, because he's probably a better prospect than Abdul Carter and Travis. I mean,
and
Travis
quarterbacks
Hunter,
just always go first because people need quarterbacks desperately. 617-779-7937. Lions, so the next question I have for you, you brought up that defense earlier. You look at the Patriots defense now, I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't want them to take any defensive players in the draft. I feel maybe one in like the middle rounds, but for the most part, it's a point in time where we need to continue to load up on young offensive talent because I actually really like the way this defense looks now. I think with a healthy Juwan Bentley plus Robert Spillane, your linebackers are good. You look at the defensive line, the addition of Milton Williams is good. I know there's a lot of questions on if he's going to be able to, with increased workload, have the same kind of production on a worse line. And then, I mean, I think our quarterback tandem is one of the better quarterback tandems in all of football. So right now, the defense feels set to me.
Yeah, and I think, last year's draft where their first, like, four or five picks were, like, all offensive guys? Because it was, May, Polk, Baker, Wallace. Like,
yeah.
I would say, I still think they need another defensive tackle, like a big run-stuffing type defensive tackle. And Terrell Williams is going to do a lot of single-gap stuff with smaller D tackles. That's why we've heard some chatter of Mason Graham maybe being on their radar at four. Not that I would do that, but I think...
Yeah, he's not a big run-stuffer.
No,
he is
Milton
Williams.
He's not. And I think they need that. And I would like another add, maybe at safety. I know they added...
Did you like the Tonga signing as that big run stuffer, or is he just not...
I still would like another young, big deep. But other than that, Shime, I agree. I mean, and look, this is a defense that was bottom of the league, and whether it's points per game, yards per game, red zone, they were 24th, 25th on third down. Like, they were really... took a massive step back defensively last year. So, yeah, they added to it in free agency. I would still spend a pick on a young run stuffing defensive tackle, but other than that, I'm with you. This is going to be a mostly of offensive draft,
and it's a deep defensive tackle draft. So those are guys you can get later,
in day three.
I mean, there's like five or six of them off
and
the top of my head that
too,
are awesome.
Like, that can be something you take on day three or undrafted free agent, because I think they could use some safety depth there. But really, you look at this defense. Carlton Davis is going to be your starting cornerback too, and that's going to end up being one of the better corner tandems in the NFL. Linebacker, I think you're a lot better with Spillane. Maybe a little depth there. Defensive tackle, I still want to add a guy. Edge, you're probably okay now. You just signed two edge players.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a mostly offensive. Again, unless something crazy happens, it's got to be mostly an offensive draft.
Yeah, they need to target explosion. Like, they need playmakers desperately. You need, whether it's a guy like Omarion Hampton at running back, Ashton Gentry at running back. I know you're not totally in favor. If they trade out of four and trade down to 8 to 10, I'm in on Ashton Gentry.
See, there, I would probably take Tyler Warren there, but either way.
With already having Hooper and Hunter Henry, like, and Warren's good. I just don't think tight ends are as valuable. I think the reaction, there's an overreaction this year to how good Brock Bowers was last year, that people think every tight end is now going to be like Brock Bowers, and he's just not.
Right.
You need to go back to looking at guys like Dalton Kincaid, who just don't have that kind of immediate impact in the NFL. It's just tight end struggle in that way. Whereas I think a guy like Ashton Gentry could be the best running back in the first round. You know, I guess Bijan,
Bijan Robinson's legit.
He could be Bijan, though. Like, he's that good. It's like, I think of guys like Bijan, not as good as Saquon, but better than a guy like Leonard Fournette. Maybe kind of on par with like what Zeke was as a rookie. Like, that to me is what Ashton Gentry could be, which is a really impactful football player, and you need
playmakers. Be the best skill player on your offense.
Without a doubt. Like, by far. And then you really kind of attack those receiver positions in that second, third round, the Jalen Noels out of Iowa State, the Jaden Higginses of the world. Like, those are guys that you could target and really get after. Let's go to Dave in the car. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. So you seem to be forgetting about the quarterback they drafted after Drake May last year,
who
I've read is better. He's better than any of the predicted quarterbacks to be taken in the first
draft. Okay, I'm done. Joe Milton is not better than any quarterbacks in this draft.
I'm also anti-trading Joe Milton.
Here's my thing.
Not
anti-trading Joe Milton, but the thought process that Joe Milton is going to get you anything more than a sixth or seventh round pick is asinine to me. I don't understand why people in New England, it seems like, are fascinated by backup quarterbacks. They think they're backup quarterback.
The GOAT was a sixth round.
Michael Bishop and Jimmy Garoppolo, like, everybody's like, these guys are so good.
Rohan Davey, that was my
I'm telling you, Joe Milton played in a meaningless week 17 game that
Mallett?
The Bills wanted to lose.
Remember Mike Mayock?
I love Tommy Curran. He was on this radio station, I believe it was Tuesday, with Jones and Keith, saying that there was like a Joe Milton for Jacoby Myers trade that could drop. I'm like, that's not happening. The Raiders aren't trading their best receiver for a backup quarterback that's like a sixth or seventh round value.
Look, if there was one good thing that happened in the Patriots week 18 win over the Bills, it was that Joe Milton showed he can be a serviceable backup for the next couple of years.
He's a backup.
And by the way, that's a valuable thing to have.
Sure.
So why would you trade that guy when you can still develop him and then eventually either trade him for more or just use him as a backup?
If he went in this year's draft, he would go in the sixth or seventh round again.
He was playing against the Buffalo Bills backups, and he looked all right.
No. Hold on. Clarification. He was playing against the Buffalo Bills practice squad.
Fair. Yeah, and he looked all right. Like, he looked okay, but come on. Like, the overreaction.
He's super athletic, and that's great, but Jesus. 617-779-7937. It's Shyman Lyons here on WEEI on a beautiful set.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Saturday afternoon. Let's rip through some calls here before we hit the top of the hour. Let's go to Jackson in New Hampshire. What's up, Jackson?
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, I'm looking at the free agent wide receivers. There's still a couple of serviceable guys that might not cost that much and have good character. Amari Cooper and Keenan Allen. What's wrong with them?
All right, Jackson, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'd be fine bringing in a guy like Keenan Allen. I think Keenan Allen can still play football. I think he would be a veteran in the room. I like the way he I think he would fit well with Drake May in that he's just kind of a big possession receiver. He's a tremendous route runner, which I think would benefit a guy like Jalen Polk to learn from him. But, you know, that's just like a fine
doesn't really
ad.
Solve your problem.
Like, no, at best, he's not a legitimate number one
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, at best, he's a solid 2. And like Amari Cooper, I know he had 44 catches last year, but
didn't feel like it. felt like he had way less.
There were times in that playoff run where it was Mac Hollins who was the guy in the key moments. And yeah. I'm not trying to oversell Mac Hollins. I'm saying it felt like he had kind of surpassed Amari Cooper by the time they were in the playoffs.
Amari Cooper looked washed.
Yeah, he really... I mean, it was Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid and
the one
Mac
play
Hollins.
You remember Amari Cooper from on the Bills last year was the Josh Allen throw, and then he pitched it back to Josh Allen, who ran it in for the touchdown. Yeah. Like, that's the most memorable Amari Cooper play, where he didn't actually even do anything. He was just kind of involved in it. Let's go to Chris in Foxborough. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Season ticket holder. Haven't paid my bill yet. 4 tickets. The Crafts, they're not going to... I don't see them getting anybody. We needed somebody like a Metcalf and a Cup and maybe even a tackle. And I don't know. I think we should get a petition and see about Devin Kraft sell the team.
So, Chris, I ask this question because it feels like they spent a lot of money this offseason. It's just they didn't spend it on the position.
Are you
recording us?
Wow. No longer Jeez. Being recorded.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No,
sorry,
it's all
about
good.
That. Stupid iPhones.
It's okay. So they spent a lot of money this offseason. Do you think that the not getting a receiver thing is a Kraft thing, or is it more of a Vrabel issue?
I mean, I think everybody wants to win, right? Vrabel's going to want to win. He's not going to want to, have a team and get like 5 or 6 wins at best. He's going to want to win because it's his reputation and everything else. So, if you're the coach, you're going to want to spend every dime you can to get every player you can so you can get a play. You can get the best team you can. I mean, they're just on that old philosophy when Brady was here that, people would just come here because they want to play in New England. And, that's just not true anymore. And everybody seemed to slip through our fingers, right? We keep on talking, and now we're like, well, maybe we can get Cooper, maybe we can get this. And everyone just seems to be slipping through our fingers. And at the end, I think we're going to just come up short as usual.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't see this as a Kraft issue. Like, they clearly opened the wallets this offseason. It was like, yeah, you can spend money and bring in talent. And it's the talent that was selected by Mike Vrabel and Elliott Wolf that's kind of the issue.
Well, and they're doing a lot of what Mike Vrabel talked about in his introductory press conference.
Correct.
Right? Building from the inside out in the trenches. I mean,
except on offense.
Milton Williams, but even Morgan Moses, like their biggest offensive signing, right? An offensive lineman, Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, like, they're building from the inside. So, and again, I'm not absolving them of not having a left tackle or receiver. We just spent 45 minutes talking about
sure.
it. But, you can't say they haven't spent a lot of money. Now, you can say you wanted them to spend $150 million on Metcalf instead of Milton Williams if you want to debate that. But
yeah.
You can't say they haven't spent a lot of money so far. They have.
Joe in New Bedford. What's up, Joe?
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Let me ask you a quick question before I say what I got to say. Do you think that if the right person is on the board at 4, that a trade down can recoup you a later first round and a second round?
Depends on how far back you're going.
Also depends. Yeah. It depends.
I think it's possible. Like, if you're going back 10 spots, could you get a future first and a second? Yeah, but if you're only going back 2 yep. or 3 spots, it wouldn't be as much.
I'm only really concerned with trying to move back, get a first, and then get a second round for this year, because this is what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to trade back to, like what you said, Chai, maybe somewhere between 8 and 10, but it's not going to be Ashton Jeanty. It's going to be Kelvin Banks, the left tackle, and then they're going to use what they can possibly get in addition to that late first rounder there, and they're going to move back into, and I said back up into, the first round for the first time in a long time, and they're going to pick up, hopefully, Omarion Hampton, and if it's not him, it'll be Malachi Starks. And then in the third round, they're going to probably grab someone like, what's his name, Mason Taylor, tight end out of LSU. And that's what I think that they're going to be doing. They're going to get Kelvin Banks. They're not going to waste their 4 on Will Campbell. They're going to move back and get more draft stock. And they're going to move back into the first round to get someone else.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Do you like that plan, the idea of trading down and then trading back into the first round later?
I'm open. Yeah, I do. And I'm actually, too, in third round. I'm a big Harold Fannin guy at tight end as well. But yeah,
he's a popular candidate.
I think if you trade down but stay in the top 10, let's say you go to 8 or 9, trade with Carolina, and then you trade back up to, say, 24 or 25, you're going to get 2 really good players. And I think that late first round has the value of the fifth-year option as well.
Yeah.
Like, let's say you get Calvin Banks at, let's say you trade with the 49ers, right, at 11, and you get Calvin Banks at 11, and then you trade back into the first round, say at 24, 25, and you get a receiver or a tight or just whoever it is, now you have two guys that you have potential fifth-year options on that you can either keep, you can either trade one, let one go. I mean, the last time that I can think of they really did this was
the Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel year.
Okay, well, I'm talking about trading up.
Oh, trading back
Chandler
in. Okay.
Jones and Dont'a Hightower, they traded up both times in 2012, but they already had those two first-rounders. Point is, so even with your Sony Michel, Isaiah Wynn year, obviously both those picks are bad. Yeah. Had those picks been good, though, that would have been an extra year of control. Like, I think there's value, like picking 25 instead of 38 for an extra year of control on the contract.
It's way better.
There's value there, right?
And you don't even have to pick 25. You can pick 29. Like, that's the beauty of it. You could trade with the 32. Eagles at 32, and you get that fifth-year option. And I, for one, am a huge fan of that. I think having the fifth-year option on a player is huge because you allow yourself the opportunity to continue to spend for an extra year before you have to give them the big contract. And so if that's the plan, right, like if you tell me on draft night the Patriots are going to trade down to about 10, and then trade back up from 38 into the first round, I'm in.
And like, I think this is where
I love that.
That Matt Judon,
especially if Abdul Carter's off the board.
And this is where that Matt Judon trade, I think, has some value because you got an extra third round pick. You can really use that to move around if you want, or just take two players in the third round. But this is where, I mean, that's probably the best move Elliott Wolf made last year was that Matt Judon.
Oh, that was a home run.
Drafting Drake May, which was kind of obvious, but I'll still give him some credit.
I don't give him any credit for that.
But I think, I mean, I'm okay with that plan for sure.
617-779-7937. It's Scheim and Lyons here on Saturday, about to hit high noon. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit of Celtics for you. Move on from the Patriots just briefly. Celtics won against the Miami Heat last night. Big game for Jrue Holiday. They got another game coming up with the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get into everything Celtics coming up here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.